Thank you for listening to this audio message from Christ Fellowship Leesville. We exist to make disciples for the glory of Jesus. We pray God uses this message to help you grow in your walk with Christ. To learn more about Christ Fellowship, please visit us online at ChristFellowshipNC.org.
Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll be turning to 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're going to read the entire chapter. Jonathan attached the first couple of verses into chapter 27 last week, so we will read that, but we'll be focusing our time this morning on verses 3 through 25. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." The woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it, and she took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to him in a word of prayer, as we always do, and ask for his help to discern his word this morning. Father, your word is a holy gift to us, and we need all of it. We need the whole counsel of your word. And your word this morning for us is sobering. It's weighty. And even so, it leads us to Jesus. I pray that you would give us the spirit of Jesus this morning, your Holy Spirit, Father, to first fill my words. Guard me from error. May I speak only what is true of you and what your word rightly proclaims. And may these gathered here this morning, may you grant them ears to hear and eyes to see your word this morning, that we may respond to it and that we might be drawn through even these weighty words to the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. We love you. Amen. Well, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they suddenly interrupt you with one word? Listen. And you stop and you tune your ears in and try to figure out exactly what it is that they're listening to, they've heard, so that you can hear it as well. Or maybe you're not quite understanding what someone is saying when you respond to them. They might say, "Listen." And then they will try to clear your mind of your own perception of what they've said and help you understand what they mean. And I know that parents in the room, you're very good at using this word with your children. "Listen," you say. And you probably use it when there's some action that you desired them to take. Well, there's a very similar word in ancient Hebrew, which is where the language of the text that we have here. It's very common throughout the Bible. It's Shema. You might know the greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. He quoted this from Deuteronomy chapter 6. That command begins with this: Shema, O Israel. Listen, pay attention, respond, obey. In fact, there actually is no separate word in ancient Hebrew for the word obey. There's only Shema, and it's implied with it. If you're truly listening, you're going to respond and obey. And if you don't respond and obey, then you haven't listened. And all of this is important to the story that we have here with Saul, as it's rooted in a previous story that this text mentions. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, very early in Saul's reign as king, prophet Samuel comes to Saul and he says, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord." Saul, Shema, listen to the Lord. Pay attention, respond, obey. And God's command to Saul was to wipe out the Amalekites because of their sin against him and their sin against all Israel. The command was every person, every animal, everything that breathes must be done away with, must be killed. But Saul did not Shema. He spared the king, he spared the best animals, and then he made excuses when he was confronted with his sin. And that story, and all the stories we have read in 1 Samuel about Saul leading up to this one, teach us a very sobering truth. We need to take disobedience against the Lord seriously. To hear God's word and reject his command and not obey him, it's wicked, it's foolish, it's destructive. So here's the main idea we're going to explore with this morning. Disobedience to the Lord will lead to destruction through God's rejection and judgment. We need to listen to the word of the Lord. I'll read that one more time. Disobedience to the Lord will lead to destruction through God's rejection and judgment. We need to listen to the word of the Lord. We're going to see that play out in chapter 28 through the following points. First, disobedience leads to hindered prayers. Secondly, disobedience leads to deeper sin. And finally, disobedience leads to divine judgment. So let's look at that first point. Disobedience leads to hindered prayers. If you look at verses 5 and 6, you see the army of the Philistines has risen up again. They've come up against Saul. Saul is terrified. His heart is trembling at the sight of them. And in that terror, he seeks an answer from the Lord for what to do. But the Lord refuses to answer him. There's only one other time in this book that we read that Saul ever inquired of the Lord. And in both cases, God refused to answer him. Now, perhaps on the surface, we might read that with some indignation. Doesn't the Lord want his people to inquire of him? Doesn't he tell us in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him? The answer is yes. Yes, God desires us to approach him in prayer and seek his help, seek his wisdom. In fact, he commands it. We should be doing that every day of our lives. But James 1:6 completes that invitation with this requirement. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's a really good description of Saul and his character. He does not seek God in faith. He's driven and tossed by the wind. He's double-minded. He's very unstable, as we've learned. In fact, if we've learned anything of Saul and his character throughout 1 Samuel, he's only about himself. He's only about serving and promoting himself. We have to see his feigned attempts at this inquiring and the seeking of the Lord to be only self-serving. The only reason he comes to the Lord now is fear and self-preservation. But it does bring up a point for us, and I think we need to focus our attention on it, particularly if we confess Jesus Christ as Savior. Because one of the most common experiences of Christians, and maybe you've said this yourself, is going to the Lord in prayer and feeling like, my prayers are just hitting the ceiling. It's like they're not going anywhere. There could be many reasons for that feeling. It may be that we have prayed for a certain thing or for a certain person for a really long time, maybe years, and we don't see any results. It may be that we feel particularly burdened by an experience and we bring it to the Lord, but nothing really changes in the way that we feel. And I believe that there are two biblical responses we should have if that is the case, if that's the case for you this morning. First, we need to rely on the promises of God's word more than our feelings. Jonathan talked about this last week, that God has promised his faithfulness to us. He has shown over and over again his faithfulness to us. We need to trust him. And I know, brothers and sisters, those feelings exist, and they can be really strong. And God has given us our emotions and our feelings as part of his good creation and design for us. They are for our good. But if we're pursuing the Lord with humble hearts, our feelings do not dictate to us what is real and what is true. God is hearing our prayers, and though he may not answer them, and according to our timing and according to our desires, he will answer them in such a way that brings about his great glory and our great good according to his great promises. So let that be an encouragement for us this morning. Let us not give up praying to the Lord simply in response to our feelings. So that's one biblical response. But the second one, and the one that directly pertains to what we're reading here, is that the Lord indeed will not answer us when we are living in disobedience and sin. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this to husbands. He gives a command. You are to honor your wives as co-heirs of grace. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. When we live contrary to the word of the Lord, in this case, husbands, if we do not treat our wives with honor, we do not honor them as co-heirs of grace, this is the guarantee. Our prayers are hindered. The ceiling, as it were, is not up here. It's here. It's sin in our hearts. Saul inquired of the Lord, but he was living in disobedience and complete rebellion against him. Why should the Lord answer anyone who has already proven they don't want to listen to him and obey him? This is one of the reasons, brothers and sisters, we need to take disobedience to the Lord so seriously. God has called us to live in obedience to his wisdom and his goodness. His commands for us are for life, for our good, that his glory may fill the earth. And when we don't examine our hearts and we don't respond when we are confronted with sin, we have separated ourselves from the very maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, the Lord of all life. Poison of sin is at work in us instead of the voice of the Spirit. Thus, even like Saul, when there's still the inclination to pray to God, it's empty of any of the Spirit's fruit. We need to confess our sin and turn away from it and conform our hearts and our lives to obedience to the Lord. Only then can we come before the Lord with joyful hearts, knowing by his promises that he indeed hears us. So that was point number one. Disobedience leads to hindered prayers. Point number two, disobedience leads to deeper sin. Look in verse 7. We see in this verse a confirmation of the state of Saul's heart. He says, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium that I may go and inquire of her." So when the Lord doesn't answer Saul, there's no faithfulness, there's no obedience to him. He desires a medium instead. And we really need to see this morning how terrible and how wicked a sin this truly is. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, Moses gives these instructions to the people of Israel. I'm going to read them in their entirety. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this thing. An abomination, that's probably a word you and I don't use very commonly. According to New Oxford American Dictionary, it is a thing that causes disgust or hatred. The Lord hates these acts. And even more, this passage tells us he hates the person who does them. He couldn't be clearer how sinful this is. And verse 3 tells us that even Saul has that much knowledge. He had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. He had cut them off. But it gets worse. Look down in verse 10. Look at what he tells the woman in verse 10. Because she's afraid that she's going to be one of those that gets put to death for this. But Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing, for doing this. That is a blasphemous use of God's name and character. Instead of judgment for this hated act, Saul essentially is putting himself in the place of God and pronounces God's approval on it. So how does one go from one day driving out all these mediums and necromancers to then seeking them out for wisdom in place of Yahweh? The answer is unrepenting disobedience leads to more devastating disobedience. So let's just look quickly through the life of Saul and consider what has all led to this. He foolishly offered a sacrifice to the Lord when he was told to wait for Samuel to make that sacrifice. He disobeyed. He didn't listen. He makes a foolish, power-hungry oath to kill anyone who would eat before his enemy was routed, including his own son. He doesn't wipe out the Amalekites as God commanded, and for that matter, he doesn't wipe out the Philistines, the very ones he was raised up to defeat, and now they're on his doorstep. He tries to kill David personally multiple times, heaving a spear at him, and he hunts him down for years, even after being confronted with David's innocence and agreeing with it. He even tries to kill his son Jonathan, who comes to David's defense. He has the very priests of Yahweh executed. Saul didn't wake up one day and make this horrible decision to seek out a medium. He had spent a lifetime of disobedience that led to this. When we fail to listen to the word of the Lord and disobey him, when we fail to turn from that sin and turn back to him, we open ourselves up to deeper sin. Saul's sin may not resonate with you, maybe because you've never had the desire to seek out a medium or pursue a medium. Fair enough. What sin are we making way for? What sin am I being disobedient over to the Lord? What areas are we harboring disobedience for the sake of self-gratification, just like Saul? And the reality is, the warning for us is we can minimize our own sin when we look at a story like this instead of repenting from it as we should. We just don't think we're that bad in comparison. And I can tell you, church, every addiction, pornography, sex, alcohol, drugs, abuse, entertainment, social media, the list goes on. It all starts with smaller sins that were harbored in our hearts. We know this is true. And I dare say that most in this room, like me, would say it's sadly part of our own stories. If we fail to listen to the word of the Lord and submit every area of our lives to him, we open ourselves up to deeper and devastating sin. And perhaps even that doesn't resonate well either. After all, why do we give ourselves over to sin? Because we love to do what is right in our own eyes. We think it's good. We can look around at our world and we can see people living in disobedience and enjoying it, taking pride in it. Saul certainly did. And that's why our third point is the most devastating. Point number 3, disobedience leads to divine judgment. So Saul convinces this woman to contact Samuel. This woman calls up Samuel. She realizes that Saul is deceiving her, that he is the one asking. And now Saul is on the ground. He's waiting to talk to Samuel. There can be a fascination with this story that can lead us to questions, good questions. How is this woman able to call up the spirit of Samuel? Is it actually the spirit of Samuel? Why does the Lord permit this to take place, etc.? These are things that theologians have discussed for centuries in the church. Suffice to say, I believe the author's intent for us here is that this truly is the spirit of Samuel. We're meant to accept that. That what Samuel's spirit says is truth. And most importantly, it's a pronunciation of judgment from the Lord. So look at verse 15. When Samuel asks, why Saul have you called me up? Why are you doing this? Saul says, because he's in great distress over the Philistines and God has turned away from him. Take note of Samuel's response in verse 16. Why then are you asking me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? That is the most devastating consequence of disobedience. It should horrify any human to hear those words or even think those words might be said to them. The Lord has become your enemy. And when the Lord is your enemy, his judgment is certain. Look in verse 17. The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me. The Lord said this judgment would come. He would tear the kingdom from Saul. He was going to give it to David. Is God just in this judgment? Yes. Look at verse 18. He gives the reason why. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord. In Hebrew, it's the same word, Shema. Judgment is coming, Saul, because you did not listen to and obey the voice of the Lord. What is the judgment? What is the penalty for the sin of disobedience? It's death. Look in verse 19. Samuel says the Lord would give Saul, his sons, and the army of Israel to the Philistines. In 24 hours, that judgment would fall and be complete. Saul and his sons, his kingdom would be dead. That's an important phrase. The Lord will give. And it's a frequent way in the scriptures that God's judgment is described. In Romans chapter 1, the Lord tells us he gives people over or hands people over to their sin and the judgment for their sin. C.S. Lewis wrote this in The Great Divorce. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. And that is what God is doing in this judgment of Saul and Israel. He's giving them over to their wicked desires. Saul and all Israel are going to be given over to the desire of their hearts, which was to be like all the nations around them. And the Philistines are ready to bring that death and destruction. They will carry it out, but it is the Lord's sovereign judgment that is going to fall. There is a judgment of death for anyone who refuses to listen to the word of the Lord. We need that reminder this morning because what happens next is also important. So in verses 20 through 25, we get a conclusion to this story. Saul is trembling in terror at the word of judgment. The woman compels him and his men to eat. Interesting enough, she says, I have listened to your command. Now you obey mine. Shema, listen and do what I'm telling you to do. And they leave in the night, in the darkness. What's absent in this conclusion, even at this point, is repentance. Saul still does not turn away from his sin to the Lord. It seems as though he is completely incapable of it. And the reality for us this morning is that while repentance is a choice for us that we must make. It is also a gift from the Lord. Do you and I presume upon His mercy and His grace to let disobedience stick around in our hearts and our lives, to think either passively or aggressively, I can turn around anytime I want? Saul's story is a massive alarm to wake us up from such wicked, foolish thinking. Repentance is God's gift of grace to us. He is under no obligation to offer it one more day. In Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, the psalmist reminds Israel, "Today, if you hear Shema, His voice, do not harden your hearts." Today is the time. Today is the day we must respond. Today is the day, if we have disobedience in our hearts, we need to repent. We need to turn from our sin. And that begs a question. If we turn from our sin, then what are we turning to? And what is the answer for all our disobedience against this holy God, this just and perfect judge? Because everyone in this room and everyone in this world is guilty of it. The answer for our disobedience is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. In fact, listen to the Apostle Paul and how he describes this good news in Romans chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Saul's disobedience, it wasn't the first in the story. The disobedience of all humanity traces back to Adam in the garden when he too did not Shema God's voice. He gave in to his own desires and he disobeyed. And as a result, this text teaches us we are all children of disobedience and we are all deserving of God's judgment of death. But Jesus, the perfect Son of God, is the only human who ever lived in complete obedience to the Father. He always listened to the word of the Lord, and he always obeyed his voice. And in that perfect obedience, the Apostle Paul again tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He suffered the judgment for our disobedience in our place on that cross, and he rose again from the dead on the third day. And now the Apostle Paul says that through Jesus, this one man's obedience, we can be made righteous before God. We can have the very perfect obedience of Jesus in our hearts, in our place. All of this is a gift and an act of grace from a very loving and generous God. As we sang this morning, God so loved the world that he did this. Everyone who turns from their disobedience and trusts in Jesus and his perfect obedience, Paul says, will see grace reigning and leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news, brothers and sisters. It's the best news. So as we close our time this morning, our call to action is both simple and profound. In a word, Shema, listen, hear, pay attention, respond, obey. Listen to the word of the Lord. Perhaps you know you are living in disobedience and sin against a holy God. You have the truth of his word before you this morning. God's judgment is coming for such disobedience. Listen to the word of the Lord Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ in faith in his perfect obedience and receive God's grace and forgiveness for all your disobedience. He'll give you a different heart than Saul's. It'll be a new heart that can obey, that can respond to his voice. And he'll give you grace and new life that will bloom for all eternity. And for those of us who are in Christ this morning and we are pursuing him, we still wrestle with our sin nature, don't we? I still can be disobedient to the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. In fact, from John 10, listen to the words of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to listen to our good shepherd Jesus and be obedient to follow him wherever he leads, whatever he asks. And to that end, we need the whole word of God. We need it to be our daily diet, our daily delight, our daily desire. Obedience to his word is our very life and joy as Christians. So let us renew ourselves this morning to be obedient to Jesus so that the world may be filled with his glory. And to that end, I want to read the lyrics of a new children's song by Keith and Kristen Getty called appropriately, Listen to the Word of the Lord. And I'm a firm believer that good children's songs with biblical truth, they're not just for children. They're for all of us. And this song reminds us that listening to the word of the Lord is beautiful, it's good, it's wise, it's loving. So here are the lyrics. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. Great and wise, good and kind. Listen to the word of the Lord. Learn to know the sound of his voice. Learn to know the sound of his voice, strong and sure, calm and pure. Learn to know the sound of his voice. Lean on every promise of God. Lean on every promise of God, tried and true, holding you. Lean on every promise of God. Hear and believe him. Trust and obey. Walk in his wisdom every day. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Great and wise, good and kind. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. May the Lord grant it to be so in his church this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that you have not left us in darkness with nothing by which our lives can be steered or compared to. You have given us your holy word that calls us to yourself. But we are disobedient. We are sinners. We often act in hatred of your word. And there might be some here, even this morning, who are acting in disobedience. I pray, convict by your Spirit, speak, Lord, into our hearts. May there not be a stony heart among us. May we have soft, repentant hearts to hear your voice and turn to you. And we know we can do so because Jesus is the ultimate word of the Lord. Your grace and your kindness shown to us through him. Lord, convict us of our need for him, our need to turn to him in obedience. I pray you will help us as his followers to renew ourselves today, to listen to his voice, to seek him, and to surrender all of our lives in obedience to him. For Father, that is what Jesus did at your command. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen.